Three-time Wisconsin Sports Writer of the Year, Jason Wilde.
There aren't any Jasons 12 and under. That's a dead name.
Packers Hall of Famer, Mark Tauscher.
How many kids do you hear, "Hey, Marky"? It might be almost to the point of Ruth.
Broadcasting live from the Everlight Solar Studio.
You love that name so much, you don't even go by it.
On 100.5 ESPN.
If you call me Mark, I like my name. I like my name a lot.
The ESPN Wisconsin app.
Wilde and Tosh.
And ESPN Madison on YouTube.
It's Wilde and Touch, isn't it?
This is Wilde and Tosh, presented by Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin.
Jurisprudence continues with Jesse J. Nelson at the center of it, which is concerning, but also has me very curious. And I can't wait for this trial to be over to find out what's going on.
Does it not make you wonder if maybe, and no offense to Jesse,
the system is broken?
I think we maybe need a new system. Is that something that we probably should start entertaining, or no?
Well, it's a great question. On 94.5 ESPN Milwaukee, 100.5 ESPN Madison, 1430 ESPN Beaver Dam, ESPNWisconsin.com, the ESPN app, your Alexa smart speaker, streaming live video. Although we weren't on Twitter yesterday, so hopefully today we'll be on there. I know a lot of you watch there. Twitter, Facebook, YouTube, and of course everything you need on the all new, all redesigned, all free ESPN Wisconsin app. I'm Jason Wilde in Green Bay. Jesse Nelson is not yet in the jury box from what I know. But nevertheless, Riley Yauch is his cousin's sub of the day. Cousin subs, we believe in better. Riley, good morning. How are you?
Good morning, Jason. Doing well, doing well.
Nice. Great reference to the old Kyle Wallace line. And from his undisclosed location, he is the Packers Hall of Famer, and he is concerned about our judicial system. He is Mark Tauscher. Tausch, good morning. How are you?
I'm doing good. Riley, how are you? I want to make sure I get a good morning from Riley, too. I'm not. You just kind of pointed out Jason, not me. I'm a little bit hurt.
I introduced
him.
That's only why.
Yeah, good morning, Tausch.
And I just did, too. Hey, that a baby rabbit. I could say I'm concerned. I think we could probably be a little concerned. Jesse, so how does this work? You have your phone until you go in the jury box? So you can go wolf down, it sounds like, great breakfast sandwiches, because Jesse has done more work producing the show when he's not on in a jury box than he did prior. He's texting us right now. It's 9 o'clock. Shouldn't they be going? Shouldn't they be getting
maybe
this thing rolling?
Maybe they've reached a plea bargain.
Keep the wheels of justice moving?
Yeah, I don't know. Law and order, they try to, reach a plea bargain before they go to the jury verdict. I don't know the answer to that. If you're concerned.
Just think about that word you just said, plea bargain. If you're pleading, are you really bargaining, or are you giving it up saying, "Oh, God, please help me"?
No, you're bargaining because you could face 25 years in prison, but you get
when
the
you're
bargain.
You're maneuvering.
It's a plea.
When you're bargaining.
I enter a plea. I plead not guilty.
I'm not pleading with you. I'm bargaining.
There's
If I want to get your hangers and I have an old pair of shoes, I'm not going to plead with you. Please, I'm going to bargain with you. Plead is please take this.
All right, so
it doesn't make any sense.
I have really tried, because I know how much it irritates you to not correct you lately, because then you get mad at me. The other thing that you get mad at is if I'm trying to do others.
Don't say that. I like being corrected if I'm wrong. I do. If I'm wrong.
Verbiage, you don't like being corrected on. Words that don't mean what you think they mean, you're not a fan of that. You're also not a fan of if I'm trying to, like, get the next read ready. I noticed this yesterday again. And you say something that I don't hear as part of what you're saying. You get very irritated and you say, yeah, I just said that. So I'm trying to avoid those incidents, okay? Plea has multiple definitions per Merriam-Webster. One is a request made in an urgent or emotional manner. I plea with you, please take my hangers.
Take my offer.
Yeah. Second, a formal statement by or on behalf of a defendant or prisoner stating guilt or innocence in response to a charge. So you plead guilty or not guilty, but then you are willing to plead guilty on reduced prison time. So if Jesse was convicted or was on the verge of being convicted, if he's not in the jury box, but he's on the at the defendant's table, and he's going to get 25 years, and Jack McCoy offers him 10, that is a plea. He would plead guilty and take the 10 years. So please take my television and my hats that I don't want anymore. A little bit different. To your point, where do you think Jesse is on the spectrum of quality jurors?
I think he's actually going to be pretty good.
Right.
I think he'll be a good juror.
And that's why it makes me nervous about the system is if he's at like the high end of quality, if your life is dependent on these folks sorting through all the information and getting it right, if you're an innocent man, how do you like your chances?
I don't know. I think is the problem. I don't know.
That's what I don't know.
I mean, it all comes down to jury selection and getting understanding of what Jesse's beliefs are and how he interprets laws compared to other people that interpret laws. I think there could be a freshening. I think we could do a freshening of the whole system. I think that wouldn't be the worst thing in the world.
All right, one more thing about Jesse's jury duty, since he still apparently is not in the jury box.
He is. I don't know if anybody – I know people want to fulfill their civic duty, but almost everybody I know scraps to get out of it, including you. I've never seen someone more excited to compete to actually get in the jury box.
You're right. Mm-hmm. The picture of him with his – prospective juror. It didn't have his name on it. It said prospective juror, but the name tag. He was giddy. Like he was. I don't know if he was waiting in line.
As excited as I've seen him.
Yeah, he might as well have been waiting in line for a roller coaster. He looked so happy.
The part I don't fully get, and what I'm going to be most interested in, it sounds like this thing should be wrapping up and he is potentially going to be back on the show tomorrow. Lord knows if that's true.
How do you know
that? He probably will need a deep... That's what I was wondering, too. He'll need a debrief day, and I'm sure he'll find his way out to the AmFam Championship because there's food and there's drink. Uh-huh. What he can and can't talk about is going to be fascinating to me. I don't think jurors should do their job and be done. I don't think they should be doing an expose tell-all of what happened in that jury room. Do you sign an NDA when you go in there? There's a lot of questions. I'm actually more intrigued by the actual process of what it looks like and how much you can report when you're done. So if that's the part. The case itself, Lord knows what this might be. What do you think this case is? I think it's an armed robbery. That's what I think he's dealing with.
And what are you basing that theory on?
Guess. Just a guess. All guess.
It's
not murder. If it was murder, it'd be a much bigger... You'd hear a lot more about it.
Yeah.
I think it's theft or robbery of some sort.
Okay.
Would be my guess.
Okay. I think it is a fraud case. Somebody was cashing checks like Leonardo DiCaprio in Catch Me If You Can, and they were brought to justice by the Madison Police Department.
Okay.
That's what I'm going with.
Riley, what's your prediction? Let's make these predictions, and if you want, throw it up on the YouTube channel. Give us your predictions, and hopefully Jesse will be able to tell us what the answer is. Riley, what do you think Jesse's court case is going to be about?
Public indecency.
Ooh,
no, we're not asking what Jesse was guilty of. We're asking what he's adjudicating.
That's a good one.
Thanks.
That's a good one.
Thank you very much.
That's good.
All right. Well, we will wait for updates. He has gone in. Heading in now. See you on the other side. No phones during deliberation.
Three sandwiches later. It sounds like they made a great breakfast sandwich for Jesse this morning. So kudos to Jesse.
No phones during deliberation. So have Riley ready just in case you don't hear from me before 9 a.m. tomorrow. So he's anticipating deliberations today, but he may not make it to work tomorrow, even
if
they reach a
verdict,
apparently.
Is there any chance he's going to be the contrarian? Like, if I'm on a jury, I am 100% going to be the contrarian.
Yeah,
I will be a contrarian.
I agree with that. Uh-huh. Mm-hmm.
And it's not because I want to make sure we flush out all of the angles.
Mm. So devil's
I've watched
advocates.
Enough jury movies.
Yeah.
No, it's not even that. I just don't want it. Nothing is ever cut and dried. Like, at some point, you can get there. But if we're at 11-0 and we're voting, I probably am going to look at it and say, I kind of want to get more info. Now, that doesn't mean I want to drag it out 4 days, but I would probably be considered a contrarian when it comes to that.
Sure. But you would still do the right thing.
100%.
So
in my mind, I would do the right thing.
I have no doubt about that. So we will eagerly await updates from the Dane County Courthouse. It is... it's interesting. I can't wait to hear about all the things he goes through, and hopefully he will be tell us all about it tomorrow. I'm really curious, though, what the crime is.
Yeah, there's a lot of – this will be the great thing about this. Jesse missed 3 days, which is fine.
So far.
Everybody's got stuff going on. If he gets us a day of content out of it, I'll be more than – I think we'll all be more than okay with what happened. And I'm guessing he'll be done by 10 o'clock today, and he'll still take off until Friday. That would be my guess as far as how this deliberation goes.
Yeah, again, I don't know how the deliberations work, but I'm very curious to hear. You can't take notes, right? Like, if you're in, feel like I would, can you?
Well,
like, if
course.
I'm in the jury
have you ever
box.
Watched, you have to.
Are you sure?
Yes. Yeah, you take notes. What else are you even there for? What do you think? You're just hanging out?
You're
trying to figure it out.
As there's like, again, I'm going to have to check
have you
in
ever
with
watched
David
Matlock?
Cooper.
Matlock, they always
you're right.
Notes.
You're right, Tausch, because the accurate representation of an actual jury proceeding is depicted by Matlock or Law and Order.
I'm not going to lie to you. It might be the most impressive record. There's the 72 Dolphins. You got Golden State went 73-9. Bulls were 70-whatever.
72-10.
The most impressive record of all time is Matlock.
What about Perry
Matlock,
Mason? Did he ever lose a case?
No. Matlock went. Didn't Matlock go undefeated? Did he never lose, or is that Perry Mason?
I think it's Perry Mason, but I don't have the statistics on me.
According to Google AI, it is up to the judge whether or not a jury can take notes. It is up to their
Why
discretion.
Why could you not take notes? What would
they
be
want
the
people,
harm in taking notes?
Because they want them to pay attention to the proceedings. They say it can't be a substitute for the official record because you get like a packet of notes.
Okay.
So
I would need to take notes
to
keep things straight.
I want to be able to take notes if I want to.
Yep, I would agree.
I would probably defy the judge's orders if he didn't.
I don't think you can do that. You end up being held in contempt, and then you're under. Then you're being tried.
Yeah, it's a tricky situation, no doubt.
Well, it's a good thing Jesse was selected, and not you. All right. Well, we look forward to Jesse's stories whenever he's available. We will continue to poke fun at him in the meantime. Speaking of being poked fun of, Matt LaFleur and I had our part two of Physical Specimen yesterday, which I really enjoyed. We'll play that for you, and then we'll get into the meat of yesterday's OTAs. Lots of stuff going on. Shameless plug for channel3000.com. No paywall, so it's free to read. That's why Tausch reads it more often now. Actually, you had a subscription. I shouldn't say that. We've got Keyshawn Nixon changing his tune on returning kicks, although it might have just been because he got yelled at for what he said.
Yeah.
We've got Zach Tom, who did not consider skipping OTAs, waiting for his new contract. Maybe that's because they announced that he was competing for his job, even though no one else has taken a rep, from what I've seen, at right tackle with the ones. Anthony Belton's gotten some two reps, but none with the ones. And then Kenny Clark, who did not have his best season last year, revealing that he underwent surgery in January for a toe injury that he suffered in the opener. So if we're going to say that the quarterback gets grace for his injuries, do we now need to look at Kenny Clark's season through a different lens? We'll talk about all those things, but not until we've talked about Gina Della and Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin.
Indeed. Is it time to upgrade your windows and doors, but you don't want to spend a fortune? I would say it's a great time to do it the month of June. Pella, the best in the industry, has a product line for every budget. And now, right now, you get no interest and no payments for up to 2 years. So if the plan is to wait, guess what? You can get it now and you can wait to start making payments for up to 2 years later. Certain restrictions do apply. This offer ends on June 30th. Set your free and open consultation today at PellaWI.com.
This will be our second straight day of a reference to our human resources czar. She's awesome at what she does. Lisa Putterman. Pipe Jim with a private talk and text line message.
She has to be a golfer, right? Like, she has
Putterman?
To golf.
I will have to. Maybe we should have her on as a guest. I bet she'd be a good guest too. Good question.
Well, if she
from
can open up and tell all the stories, yeah. If she can't, I don't know. I think that's got to be one of those confidential jobs.
I think there's HR benefits consultant privacy laws. Does Jesse have to use vacation days to do this? Is Pipe
no.
Jim's question? No,
you don't.
Are you sure,
nope.
Lisa?
Positive. Yep.
Okay. You have not served on a jury yourself, though, so you don't.
I have not, no.
Okay, just no. To be clear. All right, I want to get into.
What would happen if Jordan Love got called? What would happen if Jordan Love got called for jury duty and got selected on Thursday before the Lions game?
Got to do his civic duty.
I would think he would reschedule it. They would be. They would work around his schedule.
But let's say that happened three. I think you only get three. You get three reschedules.
Yeah. Yeah, well, he'd have to hope he didn't get called in like I did not get called in when I finally used up my.
How has that never happened?
How's what never
happened?
A player being. I feel
a
like.
A player,
it has.
Yeah, an NBA guy.
I feel like
a Major
it
League
has.
Baseball player.
Yeah,
when
I
has
feel,
it?
Well, I'll have to research that. I don't have that in my mental Rolodex. I will get some information for you, Mr. Tauscher, and we'll talk
Can
about
Can you imagine that? Hey, guys, Penny Sewell. We need you on jury duty. You can't play in that opener. Tough luck. Especially if it's a Thursday night game. Then you're really pushing it. Could be something.
Penae Sewell. We're having a Sewell conversation. It's Wilde and Tausch. Take one call. I do not want to turn this into stories of jury duty day because there was a lot that went on yesterday. And many of you come here for Packers coverage, not coverage of the legal system. But let's go to Don in Sun Prairie and get his jury duty story. Don, good morning, buddy. How are you?
I'm fine, guys. I just want to let you know that it's not as easy to get out of jury duty as you would think either.
I know.
You're assigned to a pool. And then once you get called for an actual case, then they ask you the questions of whether or not you would have any issues being a juror. And even if you would say, yes, I'm prejudiced for whatever reason, they dismiss you from that case, but they reassign you back down to the pool, so you will eventually get called for another case.
And if I just keep saying I believe, if I just keep saying I believe in guilty until proven innocent, they're just going to throw a contempt charge at me.
Exactly. It's up to the judge's discretion to say that's not a valid enough excuse, sir. And then if you keep on countermining him, he will definitely throw the contempt at you.
Do you know this from firsthand experience?
No. I have not been thrown a contempt charge at me, but I've been on jury. I was on jury duty for a week, and I went every day, and they had 13 of us because they have an alternate. Just
13 angry men.
Or whatever. 13 angry men, correct, and women. And I was there all week paying attention, unlike some of the other jurors who were falling asleep and not paying attention. And when it came time to actually go to the room and to do the deciding, I was dismissed because there were 13 jurors, and one had to be dismissed because they only needed 12. And we all are assigned a number in the jury box, and the judge just randomly picked a number, and he looked right up at me and said, "Mr. Keller, thank you, but we will no longer be needing your services."
So you spent the whole week on the trial? You didn't even get the vote?
Exactly. And he asked me to meet him in his chambers afterwards, after I went to the jury room and got all my personal belongings and stuff. And then he thanked me for my service. He asked me if there was anything he could do for me, that I was very attentive, that I was keeping notes, that I was on time. And I said, "Well, you know, I'm kind of curious because I've been here all week and I like to know how it ends." He gave me his phone number. He said, "I will call you when the jury comes in with a verdict to let you know how they decided." And then when I left, both of the attorneys chased me down to try to get me what my ideas were of how I would have voted.
Ooh, smart. Did you take those questions?
Yes, I did. I did from the one. The other one didn't have enough time. He was. They were going to meet somebody for lunch, so they decided just to.
Lunch takes precedence.
Lunch is pretty important.
Right.
So what was the case?
Jason, the whole week.
So what was the case? What was the crime? And was that person convicted?
Once you got dismissed, could you have went to like Channel 3000 or came on Wilde and Tausch? Could you have discussed everything that was going on? Is there any restrictions?
Oh, good question.
No. During it, yes. You could not speak about it during the actual proceedings at all. Once I was dismissed, then I was able to speak my mind and say whatever I wanted to anybody.
And even if the case had not been done because you got dismissed, they kept deliberating, or you got dismissed after the deliberation?
I got dismissed before they did deliberations. They were going to deliberations.
You could have broke some big-time news.
Yeah. Was it a high-profile case? What did the person do?
It was a lawsuit between the insurance companies, basically. He had his own property, and there was he had an off-road vehicle, and there was another kids that were on motorcycles, and there was an accident between him and his off-road vehicle and the motorcycle, and they had to decide who was more at fault.
Well, I hope Jesse's case is more interesting.
It sounds boring. It was very interesting. As evidence.
Oh, the CSI crew was there?
Yeah.
No, I was just going to ask you, Don. Did the case go the way you thought you were going to vote?
No. No, it did not.
Wow.
It did not.
Wow.
So I would have been the thorn in their side, Tausch, just like you would have been. They would have voted one way, and I would have been going the other.
Oh, boy.
That's why the lawyers wanted to know what my mind was. The lawyers wanted to know which
probably
way
why
I
you got
went.
Drummed out of there. Probably why they threw you out of there.
No, have this man removed.
It was just a matter of 13 jurors and they only needed 12. It's just random luck.
Not everything's random, Don. Not everything's random. Well, Don, interesting.
I was just going to say, everybody was congratulating me for being let go, and I was disappointed because I actually wanted to see the whole thing through. since I'd been there all week.
Put all that time in.
No longer you. No wonder you and Jesse get along so well. All right, Don, we appreciate the story, buddy. Thank you.
Love you guys.
Wow. The legal, the wheels of justice, inside story from Don and Sun Prairie.
Took notes, had it all figured out, would have voted the other way. Yeah.
That's what you get. Hey, we're only 2 days away from being together on Friday at the AmFam Championship at its brand spanking new location.
Yeah, I was out there Monday, and it looks fantastic. Steve Stricker host the AmFam Championship. And like Jason said, two new changes. The new course, TPC Wisconsin, over on the east side of Madison. The AmFam Champ also debuts a new team competition this year. Two-person teams will compete in best ball and scramble formats. The American Family Insurance Championship is June 6th through the 8th. We at Wilde and Tausch will be out there. Jesse, we don't know. Jason and I will be there. Get details and ticket information at AmFamChampionship.com.
We will talk about our conversation with Matt LaFleur from yesterday and all the stories that came out of OTAs. We don't have Brian Bulaga today, so if you've been waiting for him, he is going to join us tomorrow. He had a conflict today. So he will join us tomorrow. We'll talk about OTAs next. It's Wilde and Tausch. There was a time on this show when we would not have discussed this because I don't want to make it about me. Plus, I don't know if everyone always understands the dynamic. But this was funny. And it was at my expense again. And if you want to take this as Matt LaFleur hates me, go right ahead. If you'd like to believe me when I say that's not true, great. But if you remember last week when Matt LaFleur was dodging questions about how much more production and how much more productive he needs his quarterback to be for his team to get to where it wants to go this season, he mentioned that, you know, when you have injuries, those are tough to overcome unless you're a physical specimen like yourself, to me. Well, I had the opportunity to circle back to that yesterday because I wanted to know something about Zach Tom. And the exchange went like this.
You want everybody here this time of the year and understanding that it is voluntary. And, yeah, that means a lot. I know for me it means a lot to me.
This time last year he was part of the peck epidemic that you guys had going on.
I don't know what you're talking about.
I'm sure you don't. You're a physical specimen like me. When you look at what he's
playing, I look a hell of a lot better than you. Let's set the record straight.
Nice.
I'm just kidding.
Yeah. So
no,
if you remember, no.
I mean, you know, boy. There was nothing jokey or anything about that. No. And if
and
we're being fair, he's 100% right.
Yes. Obviously. Yeah. Like, I can wear that. I'm fine with that. Matt LaFleur is a much more physical specimen than me. Totally agree.
No doubt.
Okay, you don't have to be that enthusiastic.
Well, no, you're 100% right. I think that was one of those, he had kind of let it sit. He's like, do I do it? Yeah, blanket. I'm going to just throw it on.
And you could see it last week when he did it. He was itching to zing me. And he was trying to figure out where to fit it in. If you watch the video,
you were itching. You were the antagonist here. You antagonized.
No doubt about it. Well, don't pretend you don't know what I'm talking about. You, Matt LaFleur, Zach Tom, and Tucker Kraft all tore their pectorals last offseason.
Popping a peck. Yep.
The same guy at the Hospital for Special Surgery in New York did all three of the repairs. Like they were, I wrote a story about how much business these guys were giving that specific doctor. So
sure.
I don't know what you're talking about. Is that true? It is true that he's more physical specimen than me.
I look a hell of a lot better than you. Let's set the record straight.
A lot of laughs, and I think real laughs.
Those were genuine,
from
too.
From your colleagues.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. So I enjoyed that. But unlike last week, when our back and forth, then I was not as humorful. I was humorless about it last week because I wanted to answer the damn question, which is, how much better does Jordan Love have to play for you to be the team you want to be? And that's when he went into, well, of course he's going to have less production. He played in three fewer games and all the other stuff. Because he didn't want to, as you pointed out, he did not want to put added pressure on his quarterback, which I respect. I get it. This was a little bit different. Okay. Because the Zach Tom situation is a very interesting one. Matt Schneidman from The Athletic was taking the angle of he could have skipped the OTAs and waited for a contract extension. I took the angle of, you told this guy that he's competing for his job. I've been to two practices. No one else has taken a single rep at right tackle. So what's the deal, right?
What's the deal with that?
So I just wanted a clear answer on where Zach Tom is at, because he called him the right tackle. He was talking about his versatility and that he just sort of landed a right tackle, but I wanted an answer to where Zach Tom stands. So I followed up after our little fun exchange with this.
Yeah, I think that's the plan, absolutely. You know, that's where he's kind of found his home, but I think what's great about him is if you do have something that happens, it just gives you some flexibility up front. And we're always looking for guys like that. And I think our guys do a really good job, not only from a scouting department, finding players that have that versatility, but also I think our coaches do a pretty good job of cross-training those guys so that they can go in there and play. And I think as a whole, I think Zach's in a lot better space physically than he was a year ago. I mean, it's tough when you're rehabbing to get stronger and faster and in better shape. It's another thing to be out there and you're practicing and doing all the drill work, and you can really focus in the weight room at making those gains. So I think as a whole, though, I think our football team is in a much better spot than we were a year ago as well.
So he's talking about right tackle being the place where he's found a home. I don't think they're going to keep up this charade, Tausch. You called it out when I told you about it last week or a couple weeks ago when Steno said it. I think this is put to bed in my mind. He's not going anywhere. I still don't understand why they said it the way they did, other than to make sure that they were playing a little bit of hardball with his contract negotiation. That's the only possibility I can think of.
Yeah, that is what I kind of thought in the beginning of it, because to me, I think where, you know, some other reporters maybe are looking at this from a contract holdout, I'm sure Zach Tom's representatives have had these conversations with Russ that they want a new deal. And by the way, the Packers should want to have a new deal with him.
Yes, agreed.
You just saw what, you know, when J.J. Watt was on McAfee talking about T.J. Watt. The Packers, for as much as they now kind of kick the can down the road and are very, a lot more stringent on giving out even second deals, and your quote that you kept coming back to about Goody is fascinating, and I think something you should look at. Zach Tom is one of your core players. You identify a core player early. You sign them long-term, Elgton Jenkins. You know, you can go through a list of guys that they've done this with already. And you get them at a better rate, and you keep them happy. And that's how you build that teamsmanship, that we're in this together. When you're forcing guys to consistently prove it, and there's no risk on the table for them, there becomes some semblance of resentment. And I don't know what's going to happen here. If Zach Tom doesn't get a new deal, What do you think will happen next year? Do you think he's going to say, well, you know, I just love it in Green Bay, and I'm going to play here for less, and I just love being here? Or is he going to look at it as, a you know, being a mercenary?
Right.
That's kind of where this goes. And Green Bay has every right to play it out, and they can franchise tag him, and they can do that. Or you could look at it and say, I think he's a really good player. I want him on this team for a long time. And if you sign him now, you'll sign him for a lot less than you will next year at this time, unless obviously something bad happens, and that's the risk that the player takes. But, Zach, Tom, that was never – and maybe I'll be proven wrong, and he's going to be the swing tackle. And Anthony Belton or somebody else is going to be playing right tackle. And Sheet, he's going to be starting somewhere. Now, if you want to be a conspiracy theorist, and I'm fine with that. I like debating things. You could look at this and say, well, I remember when Rob Domofsky was on Wilde and Tausch last summer. And I think he talked to somebody, whether it was over a Coors Light or a Tito's.
A couple of people. He said two people said this to him.
He did. He said that they believe Zach Tom could be an all-pro center.
No.
They even said Hall of Fame
center.
Which is bold. That's very bold.
Much more bold than what he would say.
But when you hear that and you start piecing together why certain conversation topics come up, because let's be honest, this was something that didn't need to ever be brought up. Nobody would have asked you, is Zach Tom in a right tackle battle? Because nobody would have thought it. Steno brought it up.
Correct.
So if you want to conspiracy theorize it, we're not going to do anything with Elgton Jenkins. If Elgton Jenkins wants to play hardball with us, hey, Zach, swing on down. Sheed goes over to right tackle. Jordan Morton goes to left tackle, and we figure it out. That would be the other option that you could look at. Mm-hmm. Is it the best option? It is not. Is it something that I'm sure Green Bay, when they're kind of mixing their puzzle pieces together, are saying, well, if this is how it's going to go, this is an option. Because those conversations happen all the time.
And we don't know what the future holds for Elgton Jenkins. He is still not attending the voluntary portion of the off-season program. Will he report to the mandatory minicamp? I would think so, right? He doesn't want to get fined. I'm just here so I don't get fined. But if he doesn't get anything straightened out on his contract, he could play next year, this season, 2025, and then they decide, you know, we're not going to give him a third contract. And he's got a $26 million cap number for 2026 or whatever it is. Thank you for your service. You could always move Zach Tom to center then. And then you could play Anthony Belton at right tackle. So maybe Zach Tom would also like a contract extension before he gets moved, and we discussed this earlier in the week, to the lowest paying position on the offensive line despite its importance. Like, it just feels like there's a lot of moving pieces there on the offensive line, both now in real time with, and we talked to Zach about this as well. He said Rashid Walker and Sean Ryan are two of his best friends in the world. And all three of them are in their contract years. And they know that not all three of them are getting re-signed. So they're taking the approach of, hey, this is our last dance, if you will, together.
Oh, so, I love The Last Dance. What a great show. And what is Rodgers and Devontae had one. Jordan and the boys from the Bulls had one. Yeah, it's good.
Yeah. So I'll be curious to see how things shake out, not only this year, but then moving forward, because it does feel like one of the strengths over the years, going back to your era and even before that, is that, yeah, there were seasons where guys got hurt. Like you and Cliffy in 02 and Flanagan having to go out and play left tackle and everything else. But one of the strengths of Green Bay Packers football had always been such a consistency on the offensive line. And yes, guys came and went, but you kept groups together for extended periods. And I'm curious to see if that's still a priority or not.
Well, I'm going to tell you this. Kent Korth on YT put up on the Carbless Talk and Text Line beautifully by Riley is, why did the Packers pay Aaron Banks so much money? This isn't even somebody Goody drafted. This is a great point. And this is something every locker room has to deal with, and why Ted and I believe a lot of general managers are very skeptical to do this a bunch is because this sends waves through your locker room.
Mm-hmm.
And I saw it with Joe Johnson back in the early 2000s. You could see there was some angst amongst other defensive linemen. I'm not going to get into whose names that might be, but you could take a vacation and probably figure that part of it out. It's I just look at and you say, when you do that, you're setting the bar and saying, first off, we need to improve this spot. And wow, are we going to pay big money to do it? And then Elgton Jenkins is looking at saying, I don't have any guaranteed money left. You could sprinkle me something. And they're saying, well, no, we want to play it out. There does become, and you don't want to have a room with resentment. Guys are going to be pros. But it goes back to my thought on who do you want to partner with? Who do you want to show that we're in this thing together? This isn't, you need to do. Let's work together and do it. And that, to me, Zach Tom is the guy that they need to do that with.
Mm-hmm.
And if you want to continue to, you know, battle it out and let guys play 4 years and let them go, a la Runyon and what I believe will probably happen with Sean Ryan, that's part of the deal. It's not ideal, but it is part of the deal. When you bring a Banks in, like our guy Corthy just said on YouTube, it sends ripples through your ecosphere. And you have to be able, you have to understand that. And that's why I believe most general managers don't love doing it, because it creates hard feelings on the other side of it.
Right. And again, I do think it's important, because the reason why you pay Aaron Banks is because you missed on Josh Myers, right? You got 4 years out of him, but he was not worthy of an extension. So you don't keep him at center, right? So you sign Aaron
Banks. You could have gotten back for $2 million and kept everybody the same.
It's true. The reason why
But what does that tell you? What does that tell you?
That they needed to, that he believed they needed to upgrade in a big way.
Urgency, and when everybody was, you know, ranting about, oh, we're not urgent enough, the easy, cost-effective way would have been to just stand pat.
Yep.
So that's why it bothers me when people get on here and say, well, there's no urgency and there's none of this. You just paid a guy $19 million a year, and you don't think that's urgent? When you could have just ran it back and let a guy and paid a guy you'd have paid Josh Myers $2 million to start at center this year. That's what the price tag I believe ended up being, $2.5 million. And it tells you, hey, what we're doing ain't good enough. That to me takes a heck of a lot more urgency than what a lot of other people are asking for.
Well, if your urgency is to get down to Hard Rock Casino Rockford to see not Chris Rock, he's not playing there, but Kevin Hart is playing there down the road. Terry Bradshaw is going to be there.
Terry Bradshaw. Oh, my gosh.
And we're going to be there, not the same day as Terry Bradshaw, but we will be there in a little over 2 weeks. We'll be there, and you could be there, too, and see us.
Yeah, and the new Hard Rock Casino Rockford features over 175,000 square feet of gaming and entertainment space, including more than 1,300 slot machines, 50 live table games, a sports book that I believe our old producer, the guy that's on jury duty, has done pretty well with, and they got a rock shop. And if you're hungry, guests can enjoy diverse dining options at the Hard Rock Cafe. You got the Council Oak Steak and Seafood, Bricked Italian Kitchen, and I want to try the UU Noodle Bar. Hard Rock Casino, it is a premier entertainment destination just off of I-90 in Rockford, Illinois.
We'll continue our conversation about OTAs next. It's Wildy and Tausch.
You tell me I'm a wreck. You say that I'm a mess. How could you expect anything less?
So we talked to Matt LaFleur about Zach Tom, and then we talked to Zach Tom. And I thought Zach
so
was.
So, Jason, did you get any indications from Matt LaFleur that Zach Tom is not the starting right tackle?
No, zero, none.
Okay. So what are we doing here then? What were we doing 2 weeks ago? Like, why did Steno say?
I don't know. And I asked.
Did you follow up with LaFleur and say, well, your offensive coordinator said that it's an open competition. Would you agree with him on that?
I did not. No, it's.
Oh,
I'm not
good follow up. I know you love follow ups.
I do. And if the press conferences went in a more traditional conversational manner, I think I would do better on follow ups. But there, we have a few folks that, I'm not good at this. Hand up, 100% true. They time up their questions. That, like, literally
like
the last.
Kind of like Jeopardy.
Yeah, like hitting the buzzer. Exactly. The last syllable is coming out of LaFleur's mouth, and they are starting the first syllable of their question. I take a beat.
There's got to be a more fun way that the Packers PR people could do this. Like,
you don't
almost
do a
trivia contest.
You don't have to improve everything.
Wildy gets to, and none of that.
No, yeah, we're good. I'm okay with that.
It doesn't sound like it. Sounds like you're being very critical of the process.
I don't think so at all. I'm just saying that's not how I operate. I'm not good at it. But I get answers when I need them.
Why don't you get better at it? Lord knows you deal with me. You got to jump in with syllables. Don't just sit here. You sound like somebody just giving in. Oh, God, I just ain't good at that, so I can't get my follow-ups. Well, get better at it. Hey, Jordan Love, your completion percentage ain't good enough. Oh, shucks. Well, that's just kind of how it is. I don't think I can get better at it.
I had 33 drops, and I was dealing with injuries.
So instead of pouting about it,
why don't
you get better? Practice. Have Sid Madison sit there and have Paula be Matt LaFleur and have her do a transcript and jump in and beat Domofsky to the punch. Start practicing. Right?
So I asked Zach Tom how he's handling the...
I hate when you do that. I don't like when you don't acknowledge what I just said. You know it's good. You know what I said is good.
Yes, I'm sure digital content of me practicing... Get like Rocky Balboa getting ready to fight Clubber Lang. Me and all I need is my Apollo Creed helping me in the process.
So who is the great syllable timer? Can you go pick their brain and say, how do you do that? You know, like when young players come in and they ask old players, how'd you last so long? Or how do you – Davante Adams and Puka Nacua, they're having a great time teaching each other different things out there in L.A. Who is this young man or woman, and can you study what they do?
So I asked Zach Tom how he's handling the idea of competing, air quotes, for his starting job.
You're so annoying.
And here is how Zach answered the question.
So when we talked to Steno a couple weeks ago, I mean, he did say the right tackle was a competition. I don't know. I don't expect you to read the crap we write, but I'm sure you were aware that at least that was said. You don't strike me as someone who needs a fire lit under your ass. So how did you take that, and how are you approaching it in the aftermath?
Stop rolling your eyes over there.
I mean, it's the NFL, so you're always competing. In my career, I've never had anything handed to me. You know, I'm obviously a little undersized maybe, so you know, I've had to work for everything I got, so it's always competition, so I'm not too concerned about it, I guess. I don't know if that's the right word, but yeah, I mean, it's the NFL, so you always have to go out there and earn your position every day.
A Tauscher-esque response.
Like, good answer.
If he had asked you, Tausch, what should I say when Wildy tells me that I don't seem like the kind of guy that needs a fire lit under his ass, if you would have given him an answer, it would have sounded a hell of a lot like that.
He answered it exactly the way he's supposed
to. He did.
He's a pro, man.
Yeah.
I'm not sitting
here
glazing.
Kind of guy you might want to pay.
I ain't going to glaze Zach Tom, but I'm going to tell you, he just gets it. I think he understands it. He says the right thing. He does the right thing. He's a good football player. Mm-hmm. He needs to be a core player for this football team for a long time. And he will be, and that's why all this other stuff, that's where I was giving you grief and you didn't like it, and then you kind of just moved on. But having some understanding of what the motivation for that is, would be entertaining and interesting to me as a loyal reader and listener to you. Yeah, that would be, so, I would be intrigued to find that out.
Right. So here's the deal. So I don't.
Why were you like, whispering so much? Hey, Zach.
Because it's a weird setup. Hey, there's multiple press conferences going on in the same room.
Hey, Zach, did you hear about this?
Don't ask the question if you just want to keep doing your whispering shtick.
I wrote a really piece of crap that nobody should read. What are you doing? Build yourself up. Why are you tearing yourself down?
Could you stop analyzing me today?
I think Tosh is asking what,
I'm
a
an analyst. That's my job. I'm an analyst.
I didn't realize you were a Jason Wilde analyst. I thought you were a Badger football analyst.
Whoa. Isn't it funny when the journalists that analyze players all the time get analyzed and they no likey? Oh, they no likey when analyzed themselves, do they? Oh, no, you can't analyze me, but I will make a living analyzing you. Come on now, Jason. Hey.
All right, first of all, but don't ask the question. How's this for a louder voice? We're in a small room and we're doing dueling press conferences at once. In fact, in the answer you hear from Zach Tom, there is a collective laugh that you hear. It's from the other interview. It's a bad setup. I want to get back in the locker room. Okay, I endured COVID. I want to get back in the locker room talking to guys the way I like to talk to them. So that is why I was keeping my voice down. Secondly, I thought self-deprecating about the crap that we write would be the better way to go than to say, hey, have you checked out channel3000.com? It doesn't have a paywall. It's my new place I'm writing, and I am freaking awesome. You should be reading every word I write, including how stupid it is to suggest that you're competing for your job. But I didn't do that.
I'm not going to lie. Jason, you're not going to like this answer. But if I'm Zach Tom, I'm like, dang, he's confident. And by the way, he's 100% right. This is maybe that might be the case. Now, I'm all self-deprecation's fun. Don't get me wrong. But you're burying yourself. And you're doing it in a whispery voice.
Hey, can you tell us about UW Credit Union so we can move on, please?
Jeez. Some weird ASMR going on right now.
I don't know what ASMR is, but don't.
Nobody does.
Just talk.
Jason's been a member at UW Credit Union for a long time.
That's not what UW Credit Union, right there, that's for sure.
If I may, for every stage of life, UW Credit Union is here for every you, whether you're competing for a starting spot on the Badgers football team, the Packers football team, or you're hosting a radio show with someone that does great writing as well. They're proudly serving Wisconsin for over 90 years. They'll help you reach your financial goals. And people ask me, why did you join UW Credit Union, Old T? Well, I wanted to keep my banking local. I love their member-first service, and I love great perks like early payday. But honestly, I love Bucky. Can't say no to that little rascal. If you love Wisconsin like I do, you just can't pay with anything else. Fandom will make you do crazy things. But this just makes sense. Become a UW Credit Union member today. Get your Bucky card like I did. Federally insured by NCUA. Terms and conditions do apply.
The 10 o'clock hour starts late because I was whispering to Zach Tom. But not as late as it would if Brian Bulaga was on the show today. It starts in 2 minutes, so stick around.